About a minute after 6 o'clock in the greater Bay Area, broadcasting from Foothill College, this is KFJC, Los Altos Hills, and this is Thoughtline, where each week we try to tell you fun things, interesting things, things you need to know. And tonight will be no exception. Tonight, well, we're going to talk about radio, and we're going to talk about the past, the present, and the future of radio. And we're going to be talking with Leah Lubin, who used to be at KFJC from 1982 to 1985, and also did a stint on commercial radio from 1986 to 1987. So good evening, Leah. Nice to have you here.
Hey, Robert. Thank you for inviting me, and good evening, everybody out there. And we know that you're getting ready for Thanksgiving.
Really?
I think so. Don't you? Seen a lot of shoppers out there today.
Yeah, I think that's...
I tell you.
That definitely there's more amateurs in the malls these days.
Oh, I don't know. It seems like everybody's buying food like crazy right now. Am I going off the subject matter already?
Well, maybe it's the coming apocalypse, you know. They just think, you know, they're stocking up for when the meteor hits or whatever.
I don't know. I think they're just trying to have some fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And tonight we are also, and why don't you talk a little bit about your background from KFJC?
I'd love to. So I actually arrive in America in 1979, and I come here with a British accent. So I say, what's the useful thing to do with a British accent? Well, obviously, I'm going to check out radio because I have a background with listening to pirate radio growing up in England and knowing how it can affect people's lives. Okay, so moved to Mountain View, and KFJC is totally available. And I come up and present this idea of a new wave punk music show with only British music in that category, okay? So I do the Leah Angel British New Wave Punk Show, and it's late 1981. And it's an original, and it goes down really well. And the only thing about it is, I have to tell you, they gave me the midnight... Actually, they gave me a 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. time slot, and I can't believe I did that. Coming to the station tonight at a reasonable 6 p.m. in the evening, trying to remember what it was like driving here, you know, like at 1 o'clock, parking, and then making my way to the station. It felt like history to me. So I'm on the air for about a year with the Leah Angel Show, and we are exceptionally fortunate in terms of tickets, the station people are. And the ska band called The Specials are coming to play at Stanford University. And they are, at the time, a huge British band. And they represent reggae in England, okay? And we had, like, four tickets. Four different station people went up to Stanford to hear them. And as the show develops, I just kind of get gutsier and gutsier, and I have this feeling like here we are from a radio station close by. I do a British punk new wave show. I have a feeling like I can approach them at the end of the show at Stanford and see if they would come up to the station for an interview. And so everybody comes with me. I go up to them, up to the specials at the end of their show, and I start describing KFJC to them and say, look, you know, you'd have such a good time. How about it if you come to the station and do an interview right now? And believe it or not, they fell for it. They did it. They came up to the station, and my career completely changed. It went from being a music DJ that, in terms of me personally, had its limits, okay? And I went into talk shows, all right? And that was my first talk show opportunity, was to interview the specials here at KFJC. And it sort of opened a brand new career for me.
Oh, how did that happen?
Well, it was early times in the station here, and they were interested in developing talk. So right away, there was two or three different formats. We had this show called Healthline. A medical doctor from Stanford University would come on and be interviewed, okay? Then we had One Step Beyond, okay? And then we had a garage band show on Sunday afternoons where all the local bands would send in their demo tapes and we would interview them and talk about that. So those were the things that were starting to develop around then.
So so talk a little bit about, do you remember much about the specials interview?
Just how exciting it was and unbelievable. Not that much. I remember Joan Jett came to the station. That was also within my time frame.
Did you interview her?
No, but I watched.
Yeah. And how was she?
She was amazing, yes. But there was a period of time where I would do like 5 talk shows a week on KFJC and really just try different subject matters out and get an opportunity to become better and better at it. And then in 1985, KOME's Expressway show that had been on the air midnight to 2 a.m. for 12 years suddenly became available, i.e. the host and producer, his name was Joe Kaufman at the time, was moving on, and the show became available, and they started to interview local people, okay, all the way from KGO to some of the more major radio stations, and including me. And I can't believe it. I really can't, but I really did get the show and became, it was 1986, the last Expressway show late night host. And that was absolutely incredible.
So that with the Expresso show, Expressway show, the way that was something that was forced upon radio stations because it used to be that yes. radio stations had to show their public interest by doing public affairs programming.
Correct, Robert.
And that was part of the reason that
I'll tell you a little bit more about that. We were all rock stations to maintain their licenses had to do 10 hours of public radio every week. They had to do this, that, and the other. You know, they just so the Expressway show actually was 10 hours a month. I'm sorry, not a week, okay? And so the Expressway show was one of their major ways of doing it. But it was so strong that it really did attract major public interest. That, for example, when I took over the show, Bill Graham had just finished building the Shoreline for the Grateful Dead, okay? And I don't know if you remember, Robert, but I think you might. When they opened up the Shoreline, the first time we had problems on the lawn with fires breaking out. Do you remember this?
That's right, because it was built on top of a landfill.
That's right. And for example, Bill Graham chose to send Danny Scheer on the Expressway show, was barely on the air for like 3 weeks, to tell everybody, calm down, we've got it under control.
Okay. Well, do you want to hear that?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Hold on, and let's hear what Leah sounded like back in the 80s. So on your source for sound, KFJC.
And now, here's Leah with tonight's Expressway show on KOME.
Hello and welcome to the Expressway Show Bay Area. Yes, my name is Leah, and tonight
we have another subject later on in the evening. We have Richard Sun coming into the station. He's going to be talking about extraterrestrial visitations. But first of all, again, the issue for the first part of the Expressway Show is the issue of the homeless. And I want to start with Sky. I want to say welcome to the Expressway Show, and nice to have you with us tonight.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
How many homeless, in your opinion, are there right now?
We estimate that there's about 7,500 homeless people in Santa Clara County on any given night, and that when you go beyond that and estimate the number of people that are living single-family homes, multiple families living together, it gets up to about 30,000 to 40,000 people a night.
If you want to change subjects, we're about to do that. Very fortunate to have Danny Scheer with us tonight. Say to you that if you've ever wondered what it's like to work for Bill Graham, we're going to find out. If you've ever wondered what it's like to get involved with the Shoreline Theater, we're going to find that out too. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
So that's a short clip of a couple of different guests that you did.
Basically, their engineers pulled it together because the story goes like this. Every Sunday night, I had an amazing experience and an amazing show. 11.5 months into the process of being on the air, the FCC, Robert, changed the license policy. And what happens was they just took away the need for the radio stations to do public affairs to maintain their licenses. So The time slot they used for this show, okay, was slightly cheaper in terms of commercial time. We're talking commercial radio, okay, than they were charging for the music shows, all right? So they took this show that at that point had been on the air for 13 years, okay, and they wanted to throw it at a 6 a.m. Sunday morning time slot, okay? From midnight to 2 a.m. when the rockers are up and people are willing to come to the station and be interviewed and it's interesting and we're still awake, okay, let's be honest, all right, to making it a 6 a.m. slot where I knew that I wouldn't be able to get the same kind of interest and the same kind of audience. And I personally kind of let it go and let someone else take over at that point. But that was really what was going on. And they explained it in terms of money, and I understood. And quite honestly, the whole station went off the air like 3 or 4 years later. So they weren't lying. There was a need for them to try and round up more money. But that's what actually happened to my show at the time.
I'm surprised they even had a show at 6 a.m. in the morning, that they just didn't dump public affairs altogether.
Right. I don't think they dared, okay, because it did have that history. For example, Neil Young, the year I was on the air, used the Expressway show to launch the Bridge concert. And I remember I'd barely been on the air there at KOMA for 1 month, and this request from Neil to come on my show to be interviewed about the upcoming first Bridge concert. And I, for the first time in my life, and probably since then, Robert, got cold feet. I thought, oh my God, I don't know if I'm not going to turn into a bumbling idiot interviewing Neil, all right? Because at the time, he was definitely my hero, okay? And I'm thinking, okay, who would make me sound really bad? Neil or John Lennon, okay? John's already been, you know, has left us, all right? So I kind of like fumbled a little bit with this issue, and Neil sent a different representative, and we felt really good about that. And I don't know why, but I am confessing the story for the first time right now on your show, so something must be going on.
Not that I really go for exclusives. This is 89.7 KFJC and Thoughtline. Tonight we're talking with Leah Lubin, who was with KFJC from 1982 to 1985, did the Expressway show on KOME from 1986 to 1987.
Yes.
And what makes a good interview show?
Right. Subject matter and format. And I really do believe you can't just start talking because it's not going to work. Okay, you really have to plan it. So I believe in producing first and then hosting second. How do you feel about that?
I think that's a good idea. So tell us more about producing first and what do you produce?
All right. So I inherited a show that was very well produced. It had guests and it had features, okay? What I did was develop the features even more. For example, we had a comedy feature, all right? So the Keystone also was a feature, like the Keystone in Palo Alto at the time, the Ramones, everybody was playing there, would send a representative and tell us what was going on a routine basis, okay? We had people representing the homeless. We had different issues that I felt were relevant, but at the same time entertaining, that I could rely on a routine basis, okay? And then we had at least 1 to 2 major guests per show, and it was a 2-hour show, so I knew we would have a great evening.
So you usually would have, so you had 2 guests. Were these always live?
Yes, and call-ins. In fact, why don't we do some calling in tonight, Robert? How do you feel about that?
Well, that's all right. Somebody wants to call, talk about their experience with radio, talk about KOME.
Talk about KFJC.
Talk about KFJC.
Talk about rock radio.
650-941-2500 is the number. And we'll take your call if you want, and we'll talk to you. So so how would you break the show down? So you had a two hour show, midnight to 2.
Right.
And how did you plan it out?
1 guest per hour, okay, and then 2 features, okay, and then the rest would be call-ins. But I do want to throw in a real interesting story right now, okay? I'm going on the air, I'm taking over this show, and they have a big problem.
What is it, Leah? What is that big problem?
Their 7-second delay, KOME's 7-second delay, is not working. And my audience, it's 12 o'clock. We've been eating, drinking, you know what, okay. So my audience is all riled up, all right. They figure out pretty quickly that the 7-second delay is not working, and they figure out that they can say anything they want before they get clicked off the air. Okay, they're calling as an excuse. For example, you'd call someone and say, what are you going to talk about, all right? And they'd say, I would talk about the subject matter of the evening. But they knew they could say whatever they wanted for 7 seconds and nobody could do anything about it. And that's when something rather remarkable happened. What I noticed was people would call in and they would say, Ozzy, as in Ozzy Osbourne, okay? Over and over again, I started to really, really respect Ozzy, okay? Not just because he's British like me, all right? British-American, I would imagine, at this point. But because the fans are so strong that they'd rather call in using his name than a swear word.
Well, I think that in some circles, people would think that that his name could be synonymous with this word.
No, it was love. It was love. So somehow or another, I'm going to jump a lot forward, but I'm actually going to go back about 3 years ago on the Haight-Ashbury, a great place to hang out, even if it has become a little difficult, all right? I think that it was summertime, and Ozzy was signing his books at the bookshop on the Haight. What's it called? Someone call in and tell me, all right? But I saw Ozzy for the first time in person, and I managed to hold a sign up and tell him, all right, that his fans were always calling in, screaming his name on my show.
And what did he say?
Nodded, you know, barely looked up, smiling. He got it. He got the message.
That's good. That's good. So you had two major interviews and then these little features, and how would they be?
They would be different subject matters that I think would interest the kind of listeners that would listen to KOME. All right. So that we'd have on a continuous basis, we'd have a cop. Okay. He would come in and answer how to deal with these tickets. Okay. How do you really deal with what is going on here? All right. Then we'd have like a relationship counselor. Okay. So we kind of like did the gamut thing. Okay. Then we do the comedy. I already told you about the comedy. And sometimes I just do health subjects too, just because people are struggling, and it sort of leads into what's going on now. So when I went off the air, it was 1986, okay, late 86, 80, beginning of 87, and I was on Gil Cable doing Access Television, and I thought that would keep me busy. So I didn't really realize at the time how much radio meant to me. I'm off the air. I'm not doing radio. I'm really, really missing it. Why am I missing it? You tell me.
Why are you missing it?
Well, it's weird. It's a very personal contact that you have with people out there. You wouldn't think it because we're standing in front of mics. Nobody's in the room, right? But somehow or another, okay, there's a few people hanging about. But somehow or other, there is a feeling, okay, that you and your listener are sort of bonded. Do you feel the same way, Robert, too?
Well, I think that there's not the distance that visuals give you. You know, that when you start seeing things, that puts a distance between, you know, between you and what you're experiencing. When you're listening to radio, it's just voices in your head.
And I just think there's a need for it. I do. I think people need to hear someone else talk. Okay, as they do their thing, or maybe even sit down and listen, it doesn't really matter. But I just think there's a sort of a therapeutic thing about it that makes you feel like you're not alone, where a TV is more alienating, you know, more distancing. So I became clearer and clearer to me that I wanted to go back on the radio, but I was busy. I was doing things in art, I was doing things in teaching, I was doing things in poetry and in writing. But about 3 years ago, I came back to KFJC and did a fill-in for Spliff Skenkin, okay, and did a reggae show for him, and that was fantastic. And it's sort of getting clearer and clearer to me that I want, and I have been working for about a year now on a new format for a new talk show.
Oh, really? And what is that talk show?
I would like it to be called Rock Talk with Leia, because believe it or not, Rock Talk is used already on radio, so I'm thinking throw my name in. It personalizes it. And I want to use a similar format to the Expressway Show, which would be interview subjects and features. And right now, I'm actually developing the features just so that I get it really clear who's going to be on my show. I have one great name I'm going to throw out right now, okay? And you probably know his name. Do you know Richard von Buzek?
Mm-hmm.
So you pick up the Metro for years. He's their music critic, right? And their movie critic, excuse me, it's getting later. And he's a really good writer and has been doing it for a long time. And said, yes, Leia, I will come on Rock Talk and I will talk about rock movies, okay? Which there are, as you know, and also make recommendations. So he would definitely be a fabulous feature and I think would be extremely successful, all right? So there's Eric Purdell, okay, who we know at KFJC for doing videos on rock music. And he too said he would come and do a feature on that kind of activity. What it's like, what kind of experiences you have on the road, videotaping our bands, our communities of musicians, all right? So those are two yeses, okay? And then I have another interesting yes. I have a lady out of Santa Cruz. Her name is Joan Rose, and she is what is known as a metaphysician. Do you know what that is, Robert?
No.
She works with healing energy. She says she works with the healing energy of the angels, and what she does is that you come in to see her, okay, and you're struggling because things are affecting you, and she will work on doing healings and clearings and just basically changing the energy of things that are going on. So if you went to a bad concert last night, okay, and instead of having a great time, you got bummed out, there's ways to get better.
I see.
So that's three definites. Then I have a couple of potentials.
And then all you'd have to do is find some geologists to talk about rock radio, right?
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. Robert, is that you? Is that your thing?
I'm not a geologist. I know.
What are you going to come on and talk about?
What am I going to come on and talk about? Yes. I already have a talk.
I know. We have someone called Jack. I'm not going to get into his last name. Also at KFJC. I think you might know who he is. But he's a really good fisherman. All right. So there's a very good possibility, because I've been nagging him, all right, if he would come on and do a feature on rockers need to know how to fish.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I've just spent a year living in Santa Cruz. Everybody's skateboarding. They're all surfing. Lots of fishing opportunities. Very few hip fishermen out there.
Why? Why is that?
I don't think they know how to do it anymore. I think it's a dying art. And if somebody who they can relate to tells them how to do it, what to buy, where to stand, how to go about doing it, once they start catching the fish, much more fish and chips out there.
That's interesting. I wouldn't, I don't know, even if somebody told me how to fish, I'm not sure that I want to, but I'm not a hip guy anyway.
But you can see how it could be.
No, it's true, and I think it's important. People are naturally curious, and people also are always looking at trying something different.
Right, and rockers need to eat.
That's true, they do.
Right?
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, when I say rockers, you know I also mean the hip-hop, reggae, rap, alternative community. Because every one of us, even if we are in those different subgroups, at one point or another, think of ourselves as rockers, correct? Mm.
I guess so. I think that it seems to have started around the 1980s,
right,
where there was just a shatter of music going all sorts of different ways. So there
the
was
80s,
no.
How about the 60s?
One, there was no one word. Well, in the 60s, you could still be a rocker,
right?
But you know, I think that everybody has their own little name that they call themselves, and that, you know, I sometimes wonder if one of the things I think is a real benefit of KFJC is that the people who listen to KFJC like to listen to a lot of different kinds of music, and so they're open to, you know, that what they're open to is good music, and they don't really care what it's called.
It's remarkable how alternative this station is, don't you think?
Well, yeah, I guess that's true, but alternative to what?
To mainstream. Anything.
Well, you know, and if we look at mainstream, I mean, mainstream is how much radio do people really listen to? I mean, you know, I think mainstream radio has it's all commercials with a few songs sprinkled
right.
in between.
Right.
And it's all from somewhere else. It's not local, you know. So I mean, it's great listening, you know, now that he's moved to satellite. You know, when Howard Stern had a radio show, I mean, everybody loved listening to Howard Stern, but Howard Stern was out of New York. He wasn't
well,
out of San Jose.
He still has a radio show.
Well, it's on satellite.
Yeah.
But he wasn't out of San Jose. He wasn't out of San Francisco.
Right.
So, you know, so I think another thing that's important about radio is that it's your backyard. It's not,
right.
you know, I mean, you can get the world anywhere else, but where do you find out about your own backyard?
And, you know, there's going to come a time when the texting and the short communication tools that we're using right now, they're going to start boring people. It's bound to come up, you know, that you want a deeper connection. And therefore, I think, for example, that right now there really isn't a show like the one I'm trying to develop, okay? And I do think that there's room for it. And I think it will be dependent on bringing really interesting features as well as guests, but I actually think that the show's going to be made on features.
Hmm.
And so I just want to say to Robert's audience that love him and listen to his show, anybody got anything that they're doing out there that should be expressed on the radio, we want to hear from you. 941-2500, correct?
650-941-2500.
Yes, we do want to hear from you tonight. Call us.
And let us know what you're thinking. This is 89.7 KFJC and Thoughtline. Tonight we're talking with Leah Lobin. She was on KFJC 82 to 85. She's kind of back again, working herself back in. She hosted the Expressway show on Sundays from midnight to 2 a.m. on KOME from 1986 to 1987. We're talking about radio. We're talking about the importance of communication in a time when we seem to have a lot of different means. And if you'd like to join that conversation, 650-941-2500 is the number. Take a short break. We'll be right back. This is Thoughtline on 89.7 KFJC, and I'm your host, Robert Emmett, joined tonight in the studio by Leah Lobin, who used to be at KFJC and is now back at KFJC, was on KOME from 1986 to 1987, doing their Expressway talk interview show. And so you also do a lot of other kinds of things. You're an artist, you're a writer, you're a poet.
And an art teacher.
And an art teacher.
Right. I teach in Palo Alto at the Pacific Art League. I'm in my ninth year of teaching adults. I used to do kids in schools where they would send artists to the schools, but I just do adults now. And I teach abstract modern art. And I can't help but do this. Robert, we're having a party, a free party, December 6th. It's a Friday night, first Friday, down on Ramona Street at the Pacific Art League. Come by around 6 o'clock. Free drinks, free food, music, and poetry, and lots of good art.
The Pacific Art League is really cool because it's an old building. It's yes. one of the few buildings that has been knocked down in downtown Palo Alto.
And do you know they're redoing it? They're actually building two floors. They moved us completely next door, which is a very lucky thing. And the old building that's 85 years old is getting a complete facelift and two new floors being built on it right now as we speak.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So you have some poetry you bought tonight.
Well, I did. I just thought it would be fun to use the spoken word as an experience. And I have been writing poetry for a long time. As I said, I'm on my ninth book, and they average about 60 a book. But, hey, Robert, you know, when I knew I was coming on your show, I wrote a poem about it, and it did get published. It's called Back on the Radio. Here we go. All right. What's happening, she asks. Well, you're getting a chance to go back on the radio. When? Soon. How soon? 3 weeks from Monday. Wow, amazing, great news. How will it happen? On the Robert Emmett Show on KFJC, where you got your start in broadcasting, became public affairs director and went on to work for KOME Radio in San Jose as their late night host for the Expressway Show. It's time to experience the magic that only on air can bring. But now you're working on a new show. Yes, Rock Talk with Leia. Similar format, but new, more modern direction. I'll talk about that. That was the poem, all right. But let me do a couple more just to get the vibes going.
All right, you got the floor.
All right. This one's called Rebel, Rebel, What Now? When overcome with complex personal issues, one asks oneself, Rebel, Rebel, what now? Defining progress takes work. I pace myself to complete and continue the journey. Amongst flowers and ashes, dusk and dawn, I encourage the rebel side of me to a rebirth. Don't just linger in the past. Come forward and demand your future, because without you, I am lost. Frozen in niceness, but no longer interested. I realize now that who I really am is more complicated than I originally thought. You like that?
Yeah.
Shall I do one more, Robert?
Absolutely.
All right. Okay. This one's called, If You're British, It's Important to Take the Piss Out of Yourself, all right? Here we go. The great Sir Elton John leads the way on many levels. Freedom to live as he wants, but keeps up the music, the talent. His love of all sorts of art includes theatre and ballet. So when interviewed by Matt Lauer, he leaves us with this great piece of wisdom, which I plan to follow immediately. If you're British, it's important to take the piss out of yourself. He's talking about making fun of one's deepest truths, secrets, and wishes. Thank you, Elton. Live a long life and be happy. How's that one?
There you go. Well, you know, one of the things I think is interesting is that we really are a culture that's based around being a spectator rather than being a participant. And I'm sure that one of the things that you find when you teach people art and is trying to get them over being a spectator.
Right. You know, it used to be easier in the art world. If you think about the Impressionist period, every good artist had an agent. Okay. So what's going on right now, and has been for at least 30 or 40 years, is that the artists are responsible for promoting and representing themselves. And yes, of course, there are many opportunities, but it's a very hard process. And it's probably even more challenging than creating the art.
Really? Really? So, I would think that I know that we say with independent movies that everybody struggles to get the movie done, but you're only a third of the way done, because then you have to go out and get it on the film festival circuit and try to see if you can get a distributor, and suddenly you go from being the auteur to being the promoter, the business person, you know, that... Everybody looks at art a lot of times as somebody who just gets to wear the hat of creativity, when actually if you wanted to to do something larger in art, you have to have a broad skill set.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that you did bring up the movie industry as one of the art forms, okay? So I do break it down into the different industries, and I'd like to say, in my opinion, that the movie industry actually is much easier, even though it's very hard, it's still easier to advance in the movie industry than it is to advance in the art industry. But believe it or not, in the ballet industry, because I wrote a five-act ballet, it's harder than even in the arts. So in the film industry, if you do your job properly, you create a high-standard movie, okay, a documentary or whatever it is, and you take it to the right places and you promote it correctly, you actually have tons of potential. And I know that on a personal level.
So why do you have that? Why do you know that on a person? Have you made a documentary?
I haven't, but my son has, okay? Can we talk family? Is that all right, Robert?
It's fine. We're family here at KFJC.
Okay, so my son's name is Daniel Rame, as was my previous name here and unknown by. And he was fortunate enough to get into the American Film Institute, okay, AFI, which is probably one of America's leading film schools. And he did that with his short documentaries, and after graduating 3 years later, okay, he did a documentary called The Man on Lincoln's Nose, and he got nominated for an Oscar at the age of 22. And I went through this process with him. It was absolutely bloody amazing. I couldn't believe the doors, okay, that America in the film industry opens when they like you and they want you. The film industry is absolutely amazing. It's not the same in the arts, the fine arts that I'm involved in, or the poetry community, which is struggle, and then struggle some more. So I did see some very major doors open for my son, and that I went to the Oscars in 2001.
Oh, really?
Yep, and Shrine Auditorium before it moved to the Kodak Theater. And it sort of like opened up my eyes to what it's like when you're actually successful.
Really? Wow. So what is it about the art world? Is it that it's a smaller group, bigger clique? What is it?
Too many amateurs. For example, if you were to go around with a big microphone across America back and forth, you'd say, how many people consider themselves artists out there? Unfortunately, hundreds of thousands of people would wave their hands, okay? Because being called an artist is sort of a bit of an excuse, you know? It's got the potential of you saying, look, I'm an artist, you know? Back off. Because potentially you can get away with calling yourself an artist, okay, when you shouldn't necessarily be calling yourself an artist. So what that does is, well, you can't really call yourself a filmmaker unless you've made a movie, right? Correct? But somebody could sit down with and sketch a few things and call themselves an artist. Mm. All right, that's what's going on. So it sort of dilutes the whole process of what professional or fine artist of a certain level needs to go through to get accepted and recognized, because the confusion out there. So there's a lot of ways to show art, but only a few ways that are actually relevant.
Well, it seems to me, though, that also you have people not paying attention to art in the same way they pay attention to films. You know, that films show up in theaters. Art's something you can take home.
Right.
And so sometimes that there's this the great gulf between, you know, the sort of art and wine festival and the people who are making, you know, like the big money in the galleries.
You know, only 2% of the artists are actually making big money in the galleries. A lot of galleries, Robert, are actually shutting down. There's stuff going down right now. The business of art's changing. Okay, I'm not saying that there aren't any galleries anymore, but there are a lot less. And I don't know if you know this, but one of the ways that art is being sold is through large business style expos in major cities.
Hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So galleries will, there are many major art expos that I wouldn't particularly be interested in participating in, but that are proving that they can sell art where the galleries are unable to and are shutting down.
So we're not talking about the starving artists that the starving artist sale that used to be heavily advertised on television and show up at...
Right. The really bad art for $10, you can get a couch-sized painting. That's exactly
right.
How they promote it, too.
That's right.
That's part of the problem. But you know what? It's okay. It's okay because we're observers at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, so if we bring this back around again to from art to radio,
right?
That, you know, how does an artist apply her craft to the radio?
Well, I can't stand boring radio. Do you agree with me? I mean, I just think it should be illegal. So first of all, start off right at the bat. Are you interesting? Do you have something interesting to say? Okay. Do you care about your community? Those are really, really relevant things. You shouldn't just see radio as an opportunity to blah, 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 blah. You know, it should actually be something that's a calling. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, well, you know, I think just like some artists are driven, some artists are driven by, and some artists... this can't help but do it.
Right. But are we still talking radio?
Yeah, because radio is art, too. It's a different kind. It's more performance art than anything else.
What about you? What about you, Robert?
We have to share here.
All right.
We all have to share here. This is college radio.
What about you, though, Robert? I want to know, what are your secret dreams and hopes?
I have no secret dreams or hopes.
Come on. I don't believe him. Everybody out there, challenge Robert. Come on, what's going on? What's in your heart? What's your real, true... What do you really want to communicate?
Well, I think that what I say at the top of the hour, which is if there's something you believe in it, okay, get involved with it, and don't let anyone make up your mind for you.
Ooh, so it is deep. That's deep.
Well, I don't know. It's it depends on, you know, how far your oil stick goes in.
Right.
You know, whether I'm just a quart shy or not. But... you know, I would agree that I think that one of the things that makes KFJC a fun radio station to listen to is that because there are people who are passionate about music, they're passionate about radio in a way that that is different. You know, you know, it's like you keep talking about radio, wanting to do another radio show. Why not do a podcast? I mean, that's what a lot of people are doing these days, and it's not
as
radio.
Personal though. Do you know what I mean?
Why is that?
Because there's something about going live. I don't know what it is, but I think that's what it is for me. I just get that feeling that the audience is out there, okay, and that I'm not alone talking to just a machine. So that's actually what I'm looking for. But of course, that kind of satellite radio podcast, that's what's going on now.
Because, you know, the thing is that KFJC is lucky that we have an internet connection, and we not only broadcast at 89.7 FM in the Bay Area, but we broadcast all across the world on KFJC.org. And that brings us some different audience of people who listen. A lot of people who listen to KFJC listen to us when they lived in the area, and now that they've moved out, they've are taking the station with them. And then KFJC does have enough of a reputation that people stumble across it because of that.
I know.
So it is, you know, it is one of those things where, you know, that you grew up with radio.
Right.
But, and maybe your son grew up with radio, but your grandchild is not growing up with radio. Grandchild is going to grow up with YouTube, the internet, podcasts.
Unless we can come up with a show so interesting that, and not just one show, quite a few shows that everybody talks about it, okay, and then starts listening and then re-addicts themselves to radio. Because that's what it is. I mean, there was a time you couldn't live without it, okay? It played a bigger role than the telly, all right? And then, of course, the telly took over some of that. But I still think there's room in this modern world that we live in for relevant, interesting radio that's not necessarily political or religious, because those two subject matters don't interest me.
Well, you think about, you know, I mean, KFJC, and not to say anything negative about KFJC, but even with as many people who listen to us, it pales in comparison with the number of people that listen to KGO or some of the other commercial radio stations. And, you know, so there's definitely an audience that wants this kind of radio.
Yes.
But it doesn't seem to be a broad audience. It doesn't seem to be everybody.
Well, there is some strong talk radio still on the air. I mean, usually the subject matter isn't so alternative. That's the thing. It's usually either political, okay, or sometimes religious, as I said, or specific, you know, limited.
But it's one thing I think that to do, if you're doing talk on, say, KOME, which is mostly, you know, like a rock radio station, and so that's the kind of people that you have that
right.
are listening.
Right.
But if you're looking to hit the big numbers and
right.
and you're KGO, you're not going to talk about anything other than the mainstream.
Right, but we're not likely to go in that direction, are we?
Well, we don't have to. They're already doing it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what direction can we go in that's going to pull more people in that people are going to benefit from, that we care about?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, for example, what we're trying to do tonight, talking about what we care about. Hopefully you care about listening to us.
So, well, you know, then another great opportunity to thank everybody who donated to KFJC during our fundraiser, because the great thing about KFJC is that we have an interactive audience, that it's not just the people that are on this side of the microphone, it's the people who are on the speaker side that get to listen, that, you know, that communication doesn't happen unless you have at least two people going on. So that's the nice thing, is that there are lots of people who enjoy what KFJC does musically, and what would KFJC be without Sports Middle on Wednesday?
Right.
You know.
Nice.
And I think Sports Middle has actually gotten to be the longest running
nice.
Sports talk show with
right.
the same hosts.
Super.
Yeah. So, and of course, Dave Emery, who has been, you know, he and Nip Tuck started
yes.
with One Step Beyond a long
right.
time ago. And now you've got Dave Emery for the record. So there's lots of interesting alternative views and interesting things to listen to on KFJC, and music all over the map. You know, Pete Dixon coming up next at 7 o'clock starts off with a little bit of blues after he gets the show warmed up, and everybody's got their kind of their own little niche, their own exploration that they're trying to do. What do you want to do? You want to play some more music?
Yeah, play something.
Oh, I don't know what I got queued up. Let's see. Let's see what we got.
She rocks it to the left, till your heart.
Little Ike, She Rocks. And this is 89.7 KFJC and the Norman Bates Memorial Soundtrack Show. I'm your host, Robert Emmett, and Leah Lubin is in the studio with us tonight. She was on KFJC from 1982 to 1985. She was on KOME doing a show, Expressways, Sunday nights, midnight to 2 a.m. from 1986 to 1987. A local art teacher, and also she's going to be the featured reader at the Poet Speak Open Poetry Reading Sunday, December 15th at the Santa Cruz Main Library down in Santa Cruz. And you can find out more by going to poetrysantacruz.org. It happens Sunday, December 15th from 2 to 4 p.m. So you've got some more poems you want to read to us?
Why not? Everybody okay. In the mood?
Go ahead.
All right, then. This one's a little bit more serious. It's called Music. All right. Hello. How are you, dear music, my friend? I've been missing you, but there is a reason I've had you turned off. It's my heart. It's healing, and I can't take any more chances by just letting you in. When I do open the door and let you through, my heart skips and beats and hopes again. Hope that the words you use in songs can be true also for me. So music, you decide. Are you really my friend, and should we both imagine that you mean what you say? You like that one, Robert?
I do.
All right. How about something else, okay?
Go ahead.
This one's called Everything Starts Somewhere. Everything starts somewhere. Hip-hop, popping, blocking, breaking, all started and lives on in the streets. Artistry meets physical expression, basic passion, and a need to explore and escape. No longer in gangs, but still dealing with rage, a need to show that dance doesn't build character, but reveals it. Respect one another and the many forms of dance that live with us today. And my last one tonight that I brought with me, it's called Mod About London Town. It goes back a bit, all right? So here we go. Growing up in London, it was fab. I wasn't a hippie or a beat, but a mod around town. The mini, the black eyeliner, fishnet stockings and white go-go boots. Mary Quant, our fashion leader. Carnaby Street, the place to be. The Beatles, the Kinks, and the Who owned the music scene. And we, the fans, looked on in amazement. A sound so cool and new filled our mod world. Remember us, London. Don't forget. Thank you, Robert, for giving me a chance to read poetry.
No, it's fun. It's I don't hear enough poetry on radio. And I think it's one of those things where I don't know that people know how to approach poetry.
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of the same thing with art,
right.
You know, that it's probably the same thing. You could walk around with people who write, and most of them might raise their hand and say they're a poet.
Right.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
So what makes an artist different from an amateur artist?
Excellent. Okay. I talk about this with my students. It's actually not the talent, okay? Because there's some very, very talented amateur artists. You know what it is, Robert? It's how you present yourself to the world. That's the difference. So if you're a brilliant artist, you're hiding your art and yourself in the attic, okay? You're never coming out, you're never showing it, or you're showing it on little shows without pushing yourself, then you, unless you're discovered, which, as I said, the agents are gone, all right, chances are very slim that you will be discovered. And so it isn't the talent. It is how you present yourself.
Hmm. So it really is the whole package. It's not just what you put on canvas or on paper or however you're expressing yourself artistically.
So much so that we have people on the top. You talked about those two top percent that are actually selling their work. Some of them aren't that good, but their skills at marketing themselves and presenting themselves to the modern world is amazingly good. And also their willingness to not necessarily be true artists, but radical artists. That's kind of something a bit of a bothers me a little bit. Like, if you do something really radical, like slice yourself on stage, you know, or do chop your hair off or run around naked, i.e. immediately you're called an artist. But I question whether that's actually true.
I was thinking it was Sid Vicious.
Right. But he was an artist, okay? He was an artist, okay? Everything
well,
he came
I
up
think
with.
There's there was... I just remember there was a person who really wanted to be like a creative writer.
Yes.
And they were working it backwards that in some ways because, you know, Sylvia Plath and
yes.
and so many other great artists have
right.
had tortured yes. mental lives and breakdowns that they felt that if they had a tortured life that somehow, you know, validated them as an artist. And that's not the case at all.
Sylvia Plath most certainly had a tortured life, and she most certainly had the talent. Let's talk Van Gogh for a minute, talk about tortured life, okay? I mean, sometimes I think it's not fair, okay? I often feel like the really good artists have the hardest lives. I don't know what's going on about that, okay? But it doesn't seem fair to me that a Van Gogh sells for $32 million, an average Van Gogh these days, okay? But in his lifetime, he had to chop off his ear to try and get some love in this lifetime, okay? And he couldn't even get it when he did that and ended up having to kill himself. You know, that kind of bothers me a lot.
Well, he had a brother that was an art dealer, but I don't think he sold any paintings while he was alive.
His brother did try and help him, though, and he did show his work. In fact, his brother was one of the few people that did show his work. Can you believe that? Isn't that outrageous when you think about that he didn't get to be famous in his lifetime? Picasso did, Salvador Dali did. Many artists actually did become famous in their lifetimes, and they did have a better quality life.
I'm thinking Andy Warhol, who got really famous, there's kind of mixed results.
Very turbulent life, but then Andy was struggling with a lot of issues, but he was amazing,
uh-huh.
and he knew it. So yeah, he had a good run though.
So how about some final thoughts about radio? What makes
yes.
radio compelling? What makes radio art?
I honestly believe it's lonely out there, okay? And that radio is one of the last living forms of communication that we can have together, okay? You bring somebody who wants to express themselves to people who want to hear. And it's a very good relationship because it feeds both the needs.
So Leah Lubin's been the guest tonight on ThoughtLine, and she will be the featured poet, the featured reader at Poet Speak on Sunday, December 15th. From 2 to 4 p.m. down in Santa Cruz at the main library. You can go to poetrysantacruz.org to find out more about that. Just keep listening because there'll be more radio that's happening. And thank you very much.
Hey, Robert, can I thank you with all my heart and soul and tell you what a great time I had and hopefully, possibly, invite me again.
There you go. Well, as we tell you on ThoughtLine, if there's something you believe in, get involved in it. Don't let anyone make up your mind for you.
And keep listening to KFJC 89.7.
Coming up next is Pete Dixon. Till next week, Robert Emmett saying, be seeing you.
Thank you.
On KFJC are not necessarily those of its staff or management. Responsible parties with opposing views may be provided time to air those views. For more information, write to the Public Affairs Director at KFJC, 12345 El Monte Road, Los Altos Hills, California, 94022.
Broadcasting from Foothill College, this is KFJC Los Altos Hills.
heaven.